Good morning, Todd Zwillick with you with Femi OK. John and Celeste will both be back on Monday. Well, this morning we're keeping a close eye on Syria, where another day of rage is planned after the noon prayers. Again, it's been another tumultuous week in the Middle East. A deal between Fatah and Hamas in the Palestinian territories in Bahrain. Four protesters have been sentenced to death by a military court, and at least 15 people were killed yesterday in Morocco when a suspected suicide bomber targeted a popular tourist destination in the city of Marrakech. We want to get an assessment on everything that's been going on over the last week with Shibli Telhami. He's the Anwar Sadat Professor for Peace and Development at the University of Maryland. Professor, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Good morning. Well, I just want to go around the region a bit because we want to put all of these different events into context. Let's start in Syria. As I mentioned, another day of rage planned for today. Now, the European governments are meeting today also to discuss possible sanctions. The United States doesn't have a lot of economic levers to pull with Syria, but the EU does. What would be the possible result of imposing sanctions, and could there be a backlash with more crackdowns in Damascus?
Oh, there's no question. I mean, the situation in Syria is, no one could have imagined it just a few weeks ago, even after Tunisia and Egypt. Syria seemed one of the unlikely places where this could go. And the Syrians were actually interpreting this in a way that, in part, what's happened in these countries was a backlash against the U.S. and the West. And they saw themselves as being a little bit buffered because they had not been friends of the West. And so what's really extraordinary, obviously, is that these revolutions have not been about, you know, so much who's pro-West and who's not. In fact, at Tahrir Square, right after the revolution, I was out there in one of those million-person demonstrations. A lot of the signs had the pictures of all the Arab leaders, including Syria's Bashar Assad. So it was clearly no differentiation in the people's minds. So,
but Shibli Telhami, let me ask you a question about that. You know, a lot of people, I think, are confused about the difference between Syria and Libya. From our perspective, we've intervened in Libya. We're far from intervening in Syria. Why the difference?
First, I think if you look at it, the U.S. intervened because it looked like there was a possible genocide. I mean, you rarely have what you had there, not only a track record of attacks against his own citizens in the case of Gaddafi, but also a leader who was threatening. He's saying, basically, I'm going to purify Libya, house by house, alley by alley. So it was this incredible kind of threat, and it was impossible for people not to. That's number one. Number two, you had unanimity in the Arab world asking for intervention. I mean, basically, from the U.S. point of view, or anybody, you don't want to go only alone because you want to intervene. You want some support. And in the case of Libya, you had total unanimity. All Arab governments, as well as the public, in a time of revolution when you're trying to be on the right side of the public, were asking for intervention. So it made it much easier because, in fact, it led to popularity in some ways for the West. The West scored points.
Whereas in Syria, we don't necessarily have that. Shibli Telhami, let me move you on to Bahrain, because four anti-government protesters have been sentenced to death. I want to point out that these four government protesters are Shia. Do I have that right? And the government is Sunni. Isn't this likely to further inflame the sectarian nature of this this standoff in Bahrain?
No question, and I think it's a tragedy. It's a real problem for the U.S. because obviously this is a case where there are a lot of American interests at stake. And Bahrain is not only Bahrain. Bahrain means also Saudi Arabia, which feels like its realm of influence. So this plays into Iran's hands, no doubt. I mean, I think the more sectarianism there is, the easier it is for Iran to score points. And to be fair, the U.S. government tried to mediate that conflict and was possibly on the verge of succeeding. The Saudis were very uncomfortable with the deal, and the king went along with that.
I can't imagine that the United States is happy with the decision to execute those four Shia protesters.
Oh, it puts the U.S. in an incredibly difficult position.
It seems like you're right.
It's a real bind.
Let's go west to Morocco now, Shibli Telhami. Morocco has enjoyed a reputation as a stable Arab country, a stable country in the Maghreb, and at least 15 people killed, as I mentioned before, by an apparent suicide bomber in a tourist square in Marrakesh, a square I've been in. This sort of puts a new face on Morocco for the first time. What are we to make of Morocco now if there's suicide bombing there?
Well, of course, we don't know the extent of this. You know, this could happen anywhere, and we knew that Al-Qaeda did have some, you know, roots in parts of Morocco. So I don't think there is, and we don't know that this is Al-Qaeda, by the way. It's hard to know for sure. But it doesn't appear to be connected to the wave that's taken place all over the Arab world, because as you can see in much of the Arab world, in almost every country, the revolts are starting peacefully. This is not the norm of the Arab revolution. So it's hard to know what's behind it. I think it's too early to generalize.
Before I let you go, Shibli Telhami, in our last minute, an apparent agreement between the Palestinian Authority and Hamas in the Palestinian territories in Israel. What does this mean for the future of the peace process? It seems like it might make it, well, more difficult, at least from Israel's perspective.
First, it's hugely popular among Palestinians and Arabs. Everybody wanted it. So Abbas scores big in Arab public opinion, in Palestinian public opinion. They'll be stronger regionally, but they'll be weaker in their relations with the West. And Congress is already threatening to withhold aid from the Palestinian Authority. There will be a period of anger, but I think in the end people are going to try to figure out whether there is room to work with this agreement, because in the end I think everybody wants to move forward, and if this falls apart, the Palestinian-Israeli conflict falls apart, then not only do we lose leverage in that arena, but we also lose
leverage
in
other places as well. There are movements all over the Middle East this morning. Shibli Telhami, Anwar Sadat Professor for Peace and Development at the University of Maryland, thank you for bringing us up to date.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.